Hello and welcome to Popcorn Mumbles, the podcast where we dig in the back catalog to select a film or television show to rewatch. I'm your host, Cody Nestor. Alongside me is my co-host, Todd Heal.
What's up, guys?
The video version of today's episode is available on YouTube. If you enjoy the show, please consider following us on your podcast platform of choice and subscribing to our YouTube channel. This week, we have chosen the 1998 film Godzilla. During a nuclear test, the... Right off the bat, I start, Todd.
It's all right. We're
what
good.
Am I, George Bush? Nuclear. During a nuclear test, the French government inadvertently mutates a lizard nest. Years later, a giant lizard makes its way to New York City. Dr. Nico Tatopoulos, played by Matthew Broderick, an expert on the effects of radiation on animals, is sent by the U.S. government to study the beast. When the creature dubbed Godzilla by news outlets emerges, a massive battle with the military begins. To make matters worse, Nico discovers that the Godzilla has laid a nest of 200 eggs, which are ready to hatch. Godzilla was released on May 20th, 1998. On a budget of $130 million, it made $379 million. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 20%, oof, and an audience score of 28%.
Double oof.
So, Todd, let's discuss Godzilla. Spoilers are ahead. So, Todd, where do you want to start off with Zilla, is what I'm going to call it?
I'm glad you used that choice of words because this is not a Godzilla movie to a lot of people, myself included.
Yeah, exactly. Toho dubbed it Zilla later on when Zilla would show up in Godzilla Final Wars as a adversary of real Godzilla.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll refer to it as Zilla. So what's your history with this film, Todd?
I don't think I saw this theatrically. I'm pretty sure I just bought it on my, home release. It didn't really do a lot for me back then, and on a rewatch, it kind of honestly didn't do a whole lot for me right now.
right, yeah. We didn't see this film together. This came out in 98. I was 8 years old. I actually saw this with someone who was, I would call, the living personification of living leather.
You did it. You son of a bitch, you did it.
You didn't think I'd do it, did you?
No, I didn't think you'd do it.
It's a very end joke for Todd and I, because he knows the person I'm referring to. Sorry, I can't explain further.
I may not be back, folks. I'm going to try.
Sorry, I can't explain further to our audience listening. I want to start. Let's talk about Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin. So Roland Emmerich is your director of this film. Dean Devlin is your writer, your hack writer for this film, if you ask me. So Roland Emmerich, he's coming off the back of Independence Day. Independence Day was a big hit for Fox.
Right.
A film that I enjoy, definitely one of those guilty pleasure kind of films. But a few years prior to Independence Day, you had Jurassic Park, which is one of the, to me, best films ever made.
Right.
And it was kind of, Jurassic Park kind of ends that, like, real filmmaking blockbuster type movies, like, the Jaws and the Star Wars and the Jurassic Parks of its day.
Right.
And then you've seen Hollywood shift to, like, films like Independence Day, these big, dumb, spectacle, real
blockbuster, summer blockbuster movies, yeah.
And I blame Roland Emmerich for that. I blame him and Independence Day for that, because that spawned all these kind of big, dumb, popcorn, summer blockbuster films that were more style over substance, and right. That's what this is. And Independence Day is a lot of that, but it's a way better film. Not hating on Independence Day, I actually enjoy it.
Me as well.
I know a lot of people are hit and miss with it. There's like a 50-50 split, it seems, about people that really enjoy it and people think it's trash. I'm on the camp of I enjoy it. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. Going back and rewatching this film, I thought this was also a guilty pleasure film for me. It's not. It sucks. I really did not enjoy my time going back with this film.
Right.
I really did not. But yeah, so just to kind of go, Roland Emmerich, Dean Devlin, they've worked together. Pretty much he's the writer for basically everything Roland Emmerich has almost ever did, especially in his early days. They did, Stargate together.
Right.
They did, what is the other one that I'm thinking about? Universal Soldier, mm-hmm. Independence Day. Roland Emmerich has made some other okay films. Like, I liked Universal Soldier. The Patriot is one of his that I actually really do like.
Oh, okay.
Day After Tomorrow, another okay film. But, Roland Emmerich, that's he's made a career out of big planet-destroying threat movies.
Did he do that one? It was like, was it 2012?
Yes.
Was that one of his? Okay.
2012, yeah, World's Gonna Explode, the mind calendar thing.
Yeah. Right.
He did that. Yeah, definitely diminishing returns for his entire career.
Right.
Starts off pretty decent, pretty strong.
Kind of slides.
Goes
down.
Right off the map. But yes, I mean, that's kind of where you set up. And I mean, his, you know, big, you would think with him, big, you know, kind of not world, but city destroying, some kind of massive threat, big, you know, tearing up the place. You think he would be perfect for Godzilla
film? You think he'd be right up his alley.
Couldn't be further from the truth. And from what I've read, apparently he had no respect for the character, didn't care anything about Godzilla, didn't like Godzilla, didn't like, you know, the property at all.
Yeah.
And he pretty much agreed to do this film if he could just do whatever the fuck he wanted to do.
Wow.
And the studio was like, eh, sure. Like, and we obviously don't have respect as a studio for the property or the character. So, yeah, do whatever you want to do.
Crazy.
And, I mean, that's kind of where this film goes. It's like, it's just it's a fever dream of bad ideas. I mean, just from the start. You know, like, you start with the opening credits, the score for the opening credit score, it's one of those, like, it goes too hard. It sets up a film to be more epic than this film can deliver.
Right.
Right from the bat. And, I mean, so I guess the point is they irradiated an iguana.
That's it.
Is that what you're telling
Nuclear
me?
Nuclear testing.
Yeah. On iguanas.
On iguanas.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing you kind of get in the movie, Zilla comes out, well, it doesn't really come out, but attacks a tanker, like a cannery ship.
Right.
Like an Asian cannery ship. I did notice, I don't know if you noticed, like, there's a couple Asian actors, and I'm like, hey, I know those guys.
One of them was the dude from Die Hard, right?
Well, yeah, Die Hard. He's the one that electrocutes Riggs and Lethal Weapon.
That's right, yeah.
His name is Al Leong. Sorry if I'm butchering that. And the other guy, he's kind of in the back more. His name is George Chung. He was the guy that played the general that gets shot by Rambo's explosive arrow at the end of First Blood Part 2.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's done way more than that. But that's the first thing. I was like, hey, it's the dude that electrocuted Riggs and the guy that Rambo shot. Like, right off the bat. I'm like, hey, I know these guys. But, yeah, he was the dude in Die Hard. I think he's, like, eating the candy bar at one point, like,
yeah,
downstairs.
Yeah,
definitely. But I noticed those right off the bat. But, yeah, talk about Nick Titopoulos.
Nick Titopoulos, played by Matthew Broderick.
Yep.
He's sort of a government-type scientist. We meet him. He's up in Chernobyl. He's doing tests on the effects of the Chernobyl fallout on earthworms.
Yeah, basically he's an expert in how the radiation effects on animals and wildlife. Yeah, basically. This entire film is set in the rain.
It rains the entire time.
Which I like films set in the rain or snow. Maybe it's my crippling depression.
Right.
I don't know, but I enjoy that it's kind of set in the rain. It's actually one of the qualities I enjoy of this film, weirdly enough. But why can no one say Titopoulos, Todd? It gets so old so fucking fast.
I know,
fast.
It's not that Titopoulos. Look, if I can say it, and you know
if
how
Todd can say.
And Cody knows how hard I have times pronouncing stuff.
Yeah,
so.
right there.
Right there, I about fucked up that line. So if I can say Titopoulos, why can't the people in this movie say Titopoulos?
Yeah, exactly. It's a running gag that gets old so fast. So what did you think about that first appearance of Zilla? Like when you first see him, like when he first comes up out of the old man's fishing.
Oh,
hooks
yeah.
Hooks him a Zilla.
I mean, you know when you see that dude walking out there with that fishing pole, it's like, oh, my God, he's going to hook Godzilla somehow.
Right.
And, you know, the parts were... He's still in the water, and he's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's not half bad.
Right.
Then when he
as soon as he comes out, though.
When he emerges, just like, yeah, this is just a big iguana.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just the design. Like, I dislike the design. Like,
the spines on the back were halfway decent. They were kind of authentic to Godzilla.
Yeah, like the design, it obviously it wouldn't be my first choice. I would want to stick more something more classic. Like, I understand... A different take, but this is just like too wildly.
He's way too slim and slender, and way, way too undersized.
Yeah, that's a thing I have. Like, so he is 229 feet tall. So for perspective, the Empire State Building is 1,250 feet tall, and the Statue of Liberty is 305 feet tall. So that kind of gives you perspective. He's not even taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
and it just seems off.
Yeah, I mean, there's parts in this movie where he's like. He's hiding underground in the subway tunnels. That's how
the
small
scale
he is.
Fucked up. The whole scale of like Godzilla in this film is just completely fucked. There's times that he looks way huge. Like, he, like, the scale is so far, like, when there's a part where he's, like, the soldier sees, like, you see him turn away from his eye underground.
Yeah.
He would have to be
massive.
Gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the next second, he looks small running through the buildings. Like, the scale is completely
all
fucked.
Over the place.
Like, and that's, I think that's a problem that obviously people have. But, like, going back to the design, like, if you were doing a more serious, grounded Godzilla take, I could see you maybe basing it on, like, a real-life animal, like an iguana.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a serious take on Godzilla.
No, this is,
this is a dumb. This is a dumb take on Godzilla. Like, it's not serious. It's not meant to be serious. So, like, I don't understand why you felt you need, you couldn't go more classic with it, or like have a bigger than life version of Godzilla. Like, if you're not, if you're not trying to ground it in reality, this is obviously not
go way over the top like this director I thought was known for, you know.
Exactly. Like, but no, it's like the, like, again, the scale is fucked up, the effects are pretty bad. It's like,
yeah,
it's a notch above that 1997 Spawn. It's like a notch above that. Just barely. It's a year later, but it's like a notch above that last scene, you know, when he's in hell. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like a notch above that, barely.
Right.
Like, there's scenes where it's like, I don't know if you noticed it, but it's like, or not, but like, when you see some of the effects, you'll get like, it'll start moving. It'll almost be like jerky for a second.
Right.
And it almost looks like stop motion or go motion, which it isn't.
Yeah.
It's like computer generated, but it's still kind of like a jerkiness kind of to it. And there was a scene later on when, like, the eggs hatch that, like, Matthew Broderick, I think he's when he's coming out of the elevator, and he's, like, looking, and there's, like, Godzilla babies everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, there's some down the hall, and they're, like, completely contrasted against that background. They're, like, way darker than that background is.
Right.
Like, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. Like, the effects, not good.
Yeah, not very good at
like
all.
Like, how would you rate them overall? Is there anything else I'm missing, like, bad effects-wise?
I mean, that Godzilla baby scene and, you know, some of the shots of Godzilla himself, I mean, if you're 1 to 10 in this, I'd put it maybe at a 5.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just, they're just bad overall.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much else you can say with it. And then, like I said, it has a weird kind of jerkiness to it. And it's, like, set in the rain, and they said that, you know, it was people kind of hypothesized that that was done to, like, hide some of the bad effects, but then Roland Emmerich come out and said, like, no, it would have been easier if we hadn't put it in the rain and look better. Then, like, why did you,
yeah, why not?
Why did you just do that?
Yeah.
Like,
choose the look better option.
Yeah. Like, the darkness would be what hides it, not the rain. Like, I could see that. Like, you would hide it in more of the darkness, but apparently the rain was not intended to hide the bad effects that you get in this
film.
So I don't mind the roar.
The roar was pretty spot on.
Like, it's not bad. Like, it don't dramatically do something to it. It's not like, I don't know. It's not like, it's not weird and, like, completely changed like you would expect it to be for something.
Right.
What they done to the rest of the character. The roar was fine. No atomic breath.
No atomic breath.
He does breathe fire at one point, though.
Yeah, I was like, was that something like where he was already breathing and this thing just happened to be on fire and it went
ignited
further?
It. See,
yeah.
Now that was my thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I couldn't tell if that was the fact. Like, did he in fact breathe fire, or was it his breath ignited something that was already...
I think it just ignited something. It was already burning.
Apparently, there was... they wanted to have not atomic breath, but something called power breath.
Oh, power breath.
This is what I have in the morning before I brush my teeth. but apparently, like, a fan outcry or something, it made him, like, scrap the whole idea. So, like, you get no atomic breath. You get none of that. No blue lighting on the scales. None of that cool stuff that you associate
with
Godzilla at all. Get none of it.
None of it.
There's an interesting idea in there somewhere of Godzilla as an animal versus Godzilla as a character.
Right.
Like, the Toho, you know, he's kind of, he's depicted in some films, he's just like a force of nature. Some film he has, you know, he has that, like, understanding and is kind of friend of man, you know.
Right.
What I mean? Like,
exactly.
In a way.
Yeah.
There's an idea of having Godzilla as more of just like an animal, just like fighting to survive, that could be interesting to explore. This doesn't, though.
No.
And that's kind of, you feel like that's where they're going for, because with all the setup of, like, you know, it being a mutated animal, using an iguana as, like, a base for the design, all this stuff, you think it could be, like, they would present that idea to you and, like, do something interesting with it, but it doesn't. like having like a really like sadistic Godzilla that's like, you know, fighting for his life and like only doing these things to like, you know, attacking and stuff just like a wild animal would.
Right.
That's kind of an interesting idea. None of that.
None of that's executed.
None of that. None of that. No. So they get Zilla. He's obviously in the city that never sleeps. Somehow he... You lose him a lot.
In New York.
You lose him a lot.
You lose Godzilla.
Apparently he's a burrower.
In New York.
He's a burrower. He burrows underground in the tunnels. Wouldn't that completely fuck with the power system and everything of the city, you would think?
You would think that's where their lines are at, is underground.
You would think, but doesn't really happen. They evacuate New York. At least one of the island. I guess Manhattan, I guess.
It was Manhattan Island.
They evacuate that where they're trying to trap Godzilla. So Totopolis comes up with the idea. He's an animal. He's got to eat. What does he want? Fish. Yeah, so they set up a big and I don't understand. Like, I don't understand the logic. Obviously, no one that wrote this film did. But, like, they pile up the fish in, like, an open area between the buildings to lure Godzilla in. And their idea is to attack him with three helicopters. This 250 foot. Jesus. This is
a 250. I thought we was talking about Godzilla.
A 250 foot Jesus.
Damn.
No, a 250 foot plus Godzilla. They try to attack him with three helicopters.
Three helicopters
in the middle of the city.
Middle of the city.
They chase after him like, it's a bad idea. Helicopters in close proximity to buildings.
To buildings anyway, yeah.
Why not lure him to the edge of the city where it's been evacuated, perhaps near the water, and bomb the fucker from orbit? Get some F-15s in there. Get Maverick. Get Goose.
Well, Goose is dead.
Well, true. Get Maverick. Get Rooster. Get Rooster.
Yeah, Rooster, man.
To come in and just bomb the fucker from the sky.
Yeah.
Why the helicopters?
So you could have that little chase scene through the city.
Exactly. So you could have your TIE fighter moment like in Independence Day. Like, why does this big-ass alien mothership that can blow up cities from the sky need to have TIE fighters? It doesn't. You need it so you can have a cool little scene. But the scene sucks and makes no sense.
Right.
And Godzilla easily takes out three little ass choppers, like, from the sky. And, like, the whole scene is just a waste of my time. And then they repeat it. Because what's better than three choppers? 30. 30 choppers later.
That's a lot of choppers.
They do the same plan. This time they move it to Central Park. Did it work the first time?
Uh-uh.
No.
Well, maybe if we get more choppers.
If we get more fish, if we get more choppers.
It might work.
No.
Okay.
It's just fucking awful. Like, I don't know. Where you want to go next time?
Away from this movie? No, I'm just kidding.
That's fair. I mean, I found it interesting that they evacuated the island, except for that one lady that ran her pharmacy.
Yeah, she was still there. Somebody's got to sell Nick in pregnancy tests, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, something we've overlooked here. Let's talk about our human characters, our human drama. Besides Nick and the military, I'm talking about our other subplots here with our aspiring reporter, our Simpsons cast.
Yeah, pretty much. I really don't like his old girlfriend going to be his new girlfriend, Audrey. Mm-hmm. She's just whiny. I think kind of just whiny.
Yeah, so it's Audrey, her friend.
You got Hank Azaria as Animal, the cameraman.
And the Muppet.
The Muppet.
Yeah, the Muppet. The Muppet. Somebody needs to do that parody.
You got, what is it, Harry Shearer as, like, Audrey's boss?
Yeah, something Cayman. Audrey works at WIDIF.
WIDIF,
news channel. She's wanting to be an aspiring reporter. She is Nick Totopoulos' ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She broke up with him after college or something because she wanted to go pursue a career in journalism, being a reporter, and he wanted to dig up earthworms, I guess. And so they couldn't make it work. So she goes to New York to be a big-time news reporter. Is she a big-time news reporter, though, Todd?
No.
No. But she's got a little friend group, Hank Azaria as Moe. Basically, he does the Mo voice a few times in this film.
Right.
He's the cameraman. She got a friend that also works at the news station, and Harry Shearer. You also see, I think, Nancy Cartwright from The Simpsons is also, she's in, that's what I'm saying. There's, I think there's actually a fact of, like, this has more Simpsons actors in it than any other project other than The Simpsons.
Right.
There's a third person, too, and I forget who it is. That's from The Simpsons, I believe. Well, no, it would be Hank Azaria. Right. Hank Azaria, Harry Shearer, Nancy Cartwright.
Nancy Cartwright.
You see her as, like, the kind of secretary, the receptionist.
She's one that kind of, like, says, I think your big story, just walk by the window
Harry
or
Shearer's
something.
Like, huh? I'm too busy being sleazy over here.
I wanted to ask you, too, because it just popped into my mind. Hank Azaria's girlfriend, Audrey's friend in this movie. Mm. Did you pick up on those couple of derogatory things?
She drops the R word.
Yeah, and the W word.
Yeah.
The and W, this is still 1998.
Yeah, she drops the R word, and then she drops the WOP. Mm-hmm. She drops that on and Azaria. I did see that. I didn't put it in, but I was like, I was going to ask you about that. I
was like,
forgot.
Wow.
Yeah, she Hank Azaria's running after Godzilla. She drops the R word on him. Mm-hmm. Later on, she calls him, you know, the W word and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I did notice that. 1998. You could get away with a lot more, apparently, back then.
Yeah, and I know you had to have caught, you know, the guy running, Mayor Ebert.
Yeah, so.
And his assistant, Gene.
Yeah, so, yeah, in the film, I think based off the criticism that Emmerich took for Independence Day from Siskel and Ebert, he put in the characters of Mayor Ebert and his assistant, Gene, as kind of like a parody of them to kind of, like, stick it to those guys.
Right.
So, yeah, you get a little back and forth with him a few times during the film as a little sting against Ebert.
Yeah. But I mean, back to your original question, outside of Nick and John Renault as his character, mm-hmm. the rest
Felipe
of the,
Roche.
Yeah, the rest of the human characters. And I mean, that's something with Godzilla movies that's always kind of been a, you know, you show up to a Godzilla movie, you know, I would personally like to see this Godzilla start stomping shit from start to finish.
Even a lot of the Toho movies, it's a lot of people talking in boardrooms and people talking in, like, labs.
How are we going to fight Godzilla? Yeah. How are we going to attack
and
the monster?
A little bit of Godzilla.
Yeah. That's always been an issue with this series. That's nothing new here. But.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, Matthew, like we mentioned it before, he goes to the one pharmacist, the one store open on the island still. He buys a pregnancy test. He figures out that Zilla is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, going back on this, I always thought that, like, Zilla was a girl. But then, like, the takeaway that I had, like, oh, pregnant girl. Mm-hmm. But then they say, like, that it's Zilla is a boy, but just reproduces asexually. But I don't know where I got it from. That I guess I just, my little 8-year-old mind was like,
thought it was a girl the whole time.
Yeah, my prejudice thought it was a girl the whole time, I guess. But yeah, apparently Zilla is a boy, just reproduces asexually.
Yeah.
Again, an angle I don't think you need here.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the whole baby saga.
Yeah, so, like, that's the next thing, is that not only do we need to deal with Zilla, Matthew Broderick is like, hey, somewhere in the city.
There's a nest.
There's a nest somewhere. And it happens to be where?
Madison Square fucking guy.
Yeah, so, it's in Madison Square Garden. So we kind of... Totopoulos gets kicked out because Audrey comes back in his life. She sees him on the news reports.
Yeah.
And she kind of sees him, like, you know, walking with the military and stuff. She comes back into his life, and she ends up basically fucking him over.
She steals that tape he had.
Of the little Asian man with Jean Reno sticking
footprints.
A lighter in his face.
What that did, I don't know.
Tell me, old man.
Tell me, old man. I have a Bic. A Bic, I said. A Bic.
Make sure you enunciate, Todd. She steals the tape of him, the footprints and all that, and then she does a whole report about it, but she gets fucked over by...
Does her no good.
Yeah, because Harry Shearer fucks her over and ends up taking over her report, basically, the whole time, basically, and just kind of, again, fucks her over. So she fucked over Matthew Broderick for no reason. He gets kicked out of the military, but luckily Jean Reno's there, who plays, like I said, a Philip Roach. And he is a French Secret Service agent.
Right.
So if the military isn't doing anything, he's the man with Matthew Broderick that has enough wantingness to find the nest.
He believes in the nest theory, and he wants to help find it.
Exactly. So, and also Hank Azaria has kind of followed Nick Totopoulos to his little kind of intervention, but his little kind of going into the buildings and everything with Jean Reno.
Right.
And he kind of sees their little secret French military base that they've set up in like an abandoned building. So he kind of like checks that out, kind of follows Nick there because he doesn't go to the airport like he was supposed to. What else you got, Todd? What else do we need to talk about with Zilla here?
So basically, you know, we got Jean Reno and Nick, and they're looking for the nest.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we find out it's in the garden.
Yeah.
You got Animal and Audrey hot on their tail. Audrey's trying to, you know, try to make things right, you know, try to give Nick the credit he deserves by basically trying to help him find the nest, I guess.
Yeah, and then you see all the eggs around. They think he has a hypothesis, maybe there's 12 eggs. Nah, it's like 200.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
I mean, you see them all over MSG. But, I mean, you know, hatching hundreds of Zilla eggs is probably a better use to Madison Square Garden than the Knicks have done in 20 years.
Hey, whoa. If we have any fans in the greater New York area, I'm sorry.
Got him.
I'm sorry. Nah.
Got nothing against the Knicks. Yeah. But, yeah, so basically Jean Reno and his crew, they get the eggs start hatching. They need to get the fuck out of there. They got to get word to the military. You got to blow Madison Square Garden all to hell. You got to get rid of these Zilla eggs before they run rampant. They put out a report from inside Madison Square Garden. They use an early version of the intranet, she says. It's the intranet that they have set up between MSG and the news van. So she gets them to put them live on air of her and Nick talking about the nest and showing the nest. And he's like, if we don't kill these 200, there'll be 40,000 of them by the end of the year.
Right.
We got to blows it up.
She throws in that little stinger about, you know, Nick was the one that figured out this idea. He deserves the credit to kind of get him back into good graces to cover her ass for screwing him over.
And totally redeem yourself, Audrey, basically.
And we almost forgot Jean Reno as Elvis earlier.
The chewing gum gag. Yeah. When they're heading out to the military, they're all Jean Reno, his French Secret Service, they're all dressed in like kind of American military apparel.
Right.
And he's handing out juicy fruit, sticks of juicy fruit.
Sticks of gummed.
And Matthew Broderick is like, what's the gum for? It's like, makes it look more American.
And they're all like,
So they get to like a military checkpoint, and Broderick's trying to explain. He's like, did your friend talk here? Talking about Jean Reno. And he's like, yeah. He's like, can you go ahead? And he's like, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And he looks at him and he's like,
Elvis movies.
Yeah.
He's the king.
He was the king. I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
This is the humor level we got here. So the military blows up. Oh, did you see the Blockbuster sign in Madison Square Garden?
I caught that, yeah.
The good
and also,
days.
What'd you think about when they had the first fish pile, Matthew Broderick goes over and cranks that old camera out of that camera machine. Remember the old disposable cameras?
Yep. The little got a
little wheel. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Simpler times.
Yes.
They were better times. But the military blows up MSG. The crew barely escape. Jean Reno, Audrey, Hank Azaria, Matthew Broderick, they escape. They blow the shit out of Madison Square Garden with a couple missiles from F-15s. I guess they did have F-15s.
Yeah.
They could have used against Godzilla
way
the whole time.
Earlier.
At that distance running away from that explosion, their organs would be souped up. There's no way. There's no way you survive.
Movie.
Yeah, exactly.
We almost forgot Godzilla had supposedly been killed right before all this.
Yeah, there's a terrible scene where Godzilla is chased by a submarine in the Hudson River, and he is supposedly killed by one of the military torpedoes. There's two submarines in the beginning, but Godzilla ends up doing old okey-doke, gives these backsies of their missile.
Right.
But, yeah, Godzilla's apparently and supposedly killed.
And wasn't that dude that was at that kind of command center that kind of steps in that's from, like, you know, the like an admiral? He's, like, from the – wasn't that the guy that was in Rocky V? As like Billy Guns.
You talking about the black dude?
Yeah.
Yes, the play Duke.
Yeah,
played
that
Duke, was him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Touch me, pug. Touch me, I sue. Yeah, that guy. But yeah, so basically they have one final chase scene. Godzilla chases after him in a taxi, chasing out Nico and them. And basically it ends on one of the bridges,
Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah,
he gets caught up in the suspension wires. He's that tiny.
Yeah, exactly. Another scale problem. And then the military, they attack him. And it is a nice little, like, I like the little subtle heartbeat that you kind of hear.
Yeah.
As, like, Zilla's dying on the bridge, and you get the last couple heartbeats, and that, dun, 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 and then it's like, dun, mm-hmm. and you see the eye kind of go. Got a little bit of empathy for Zilla just in that right. one little scene. But after that, what's our tease for future sequels that never happened, Todd?
Oh, so we kind of get a cut back to MSG, and there's one of those babies still roaming around.
Yeah, so we get an egg hatching, and it reveals that one made it, and we're going to get a Godzilla 2.
No, he ain't.
No, thank God.
Thank the Lord.
Thank God. And what really cemented that this film sucked to me, the credits roll, and you start hearing the song Come With Me by Puff Daddy, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I was watching this film last night in preparation for this, and I got to about the 2-hour mark. It's a 2-hour and 18-minute film. I don't know why.
Right.
I got to the 2-hour mark, and I'm like, I can't do this. I literally just, okay, let me get the beats here.
Really?
I jumped around the last 18 minutes. All right, Taxi Chase. Okay, got this. Egg Hatch, and we're done.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I always thought this was a film that I was like, oh, it's one of those like dumb, cheesy, guilty pleasure films for me. Mm-hmm. I really disliked this movie going back. It was really a chore to kind of watch, honestly. It's not fun guilty pleasure to me. It's just like, it's just kind of dumb, and
yeah,
it's just a bad movie altogether. I mean, in my opinion,
they totally fucked up having the Godzilla license.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they didn't treat it with respect. The director didn't have any respect for the source material. It didn't seem like the studio cared about having respect or finding someone with respect for the source material. And they just, hey, this guy made a movie that made us a lot of money. Let's give him a big city-destroying monster to do it. He did a good alien-destroying cities movie. Let's give it to this guy.
Right.
And he was completely the wrong choice. So I got some Zilla goofs here for you, Todd.
Oh, Zilla goofs.
Yes, that's what we'll call it. So near the beginning, Godzilla is walking, and you see, like, the cars bounce.
Mm-hmm.
So yet later on, when there's chase sequences, and he's, like, running down the city, mm-hmm. Cars don't bounce. No, there's no
–
no, neither do the pedestrians. If you could move a car, you would bounce pedestrians. But he's – in the beginning of the film, they're bouncing all over the place. But yet when he's running past cars,
nothing.
Don't move. The top of the Chrysler building is knocked off.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, the military shoots at Godzilla, misses, hits the top of the Chrysler building.
I remember that, yeah.
So it's knocked off earlier in the film, but then there's a long shot later.
Let me guess, it's still standing.
It's still standing. Exactly. Whoever was job that to do continuity on this film really, really dropped the ball, I think. Based on the width and depth of the Hudson River, it would be impossible for a Los Angeles-class submarine to navigate submerged. Yeah. Again, did anybody care?
No.
Exactly. When the cab is stuck in the Park Avenue tunnel, Godzilla tears up the road in front of the cab. Later, when the cab takes off, road is fine. And during the final chase sequence, the extent of the damage on the taxi changes consistently between shots, particularly on the sides. Again, continuity be damned. I have some Zilla bits for you too, Todd. We did
Ooh,
Zilla
bits.
Goops. Yeah, I got some Zilla bits. We already talked about this movie features more Simpsons voice actors than any other project besides The Simpsons.
Right.
You got Hank Azaria, Harry Shearer, Nancy Cartwright. Steven Spielberg tried to talk Roland Emmerich out of making the film, considering a silly idea for Hollywood to try and remake Godzilla. Spielberg later told Entertainment Weekly that he didn't bother to see the film, stating, "The only Godzilla I saw was the one with Raymond Burr. I purposely stayed away from seeing TriStar's Godzilla because I didn't want to get anything between me and my memory of my favorite Godzilla movie of all time." Boy, he made the right call.
He did.
Yeah. Don't see this, Steven. If you're out there, don't do it.
Right.
Despite the less-than-expected box office performance, this film still made more money worldwide than any other American movie based on a foreign film. It held this record until 2014's Godzilla claimed it 16 years later.
Ah.
The film's first teaser trailer began appearing in theaters a full year before the film was released. Do you remember that trailer by any chance? I remember it.
Was it like a big foot stomping down?
Yes, stomping down in a museum and stomping out on a T-Rex.
Okay.
A skeleton. I remember that. And that scene was cut from the final version of the movie, and it cost $600,000.
What a waste.
Toho Studios gave the TriStar crew a 75-page dossier on what they can and cannot do with Godzilla's characters. This included the following rules. Godzilla's origin has to be tied to a nuclear accident. Check, I guess. He cannot eat people, only fish. Check. He has to have three rows of dorsal plates. I think we got three.
We got that, yeah.
No more or less than three toes on his feet and four fingers on his hands. Check. Yeah, I think we stayed within that. He has to have a long tail. Yeah.
Check.
He cannot be made fun of. Well, we failed there.
Yeah. Bom, 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 bom.
And he cannot die in the movie.
Oh, well.
We failed there.
They totally failed there.
Yeah. So it says many of the points were disregarded. Creature designer and also, I guess, last name inspiration for Nick Tatopoulos, Patrick Tatopoulos, never received the list of rules despite director Roland Emmerich having forwarded them to him. Also here, I just found it. There's a lot of information more on those rules. But the thing I found interesting, Emmerich wanted Godzilla to be able to run incredibly fast and not resemble a dinosaur too closely. He also requested the monster be slightly erotic and sensual in the way it moves and brushes its tail against the buildings. Did you pick up some eroticism?
I picked up a lot of shit from this movie, but not eroticism.
It didn't feel sensual to you when Godzilla's tail was gently caressing those buildings, Todd?
Don't talk about
it. You didn't get
stuff.
A little tinge of anything in your pants?
No. No.
Okay.
I'm 51 years old, Cody.
Nothing tinges down there anymore,
does it? Nothing tinges down there anymore, so.
Dean Devlin aggressively defended the movie on internet message boards, at times telling the Godzilla fans to hell with you if they have a negative opinion over it. The official Godzilla message board was shut down soon after due to all the heated arguing. Years later, Devlin has admitted to recognizing the movie's faults and apologized to the fans in various interviews.
Uh-huh.
The elevator music in a scene with Matthew Broderick is Donka Shane, which of course...
Oh, from Ferris Bueller.
He lip syncs in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, yes. 2,000 foam fish were made to create the fish pile. This movie is famous for its rainy scenes. Again, we kind of already talked about this one. It wasn't intended to hide the bad special effects, just a decision based on the production, I guess, for whatever reason they had there. This film was one of two released in summer 98 where the top of the Chrysler Building is destroyed and plummets to the street below. Any guess on what the other one was, Todd? 1998 film that blew up the Chrysler Building or knocked the top of it off at least? We've talked about it before on this podcast in my guilty pleasure list. The wheels are turning, folks.
I'm at a loss.
The hamster's dead.
The hamster has died.
Armageddon. 1998. We talked about Mayor Ebert and Gene. The last thing I had here is some director candidates. James Cameron was originally offered the chance to direct. I would have been interested in a James Cameron Godzilla. I think that would have been much more interesting.
Definitely.
When he passed, Tim Burton was connected for a few years. Godzilla with like a little like emo. I'm so sensual next to these buildings. Look at my scissor hands. I'm Godzilla.
Oh, man. So we dodged one there, I guess.
Yeah, we dodged one there. Joe Johnston was also rumored at the time. If you remember, Joe Johnston did, I think, The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
And also did Captain America the First Avenger.
Right.
Potentially good there. Paul Verhoeven was also going direct, but passed on the project. Could you imagine like a super violent Godzilla movie directed by Paul Verhoeven?
Man, that would have been something.
Somehow Godzilla has a gun so people can get squibs shooting off on themselves. He's got a gun!
Man.
I would love to see Paul Verhoeven's Godzilla.
A missed opportunity.
Can we make that happen somehow? I think he's still alive, right?
I don't know.
All right, Todd. Give us any final thoughts you have and your review score for Zilla.
I had one little nugget here. You mentioned Godzilla Final Wars, and Zilla, as we've come to know him in this movie, makes an appearance in that movie. And Toho's Godzilla, I think, dispatches him in like 30-some-odd seconds.
Yeah, it don't last long.
He kind of lunges at Godzilla. Godzilla gives him a tail swipe into a building, and an atomic blasts him and blows the whole mess up. It's like, I think, a 35-second scene.
Yeah.
That shows you what Toho thought of Zilla. And let me tell you what I think of Zilla. No, I'm just kidding.
There was a animated series that spun off of this. Did you ever watch it?
I have actually bought that series on DVD. I got it real cheap a few years ago, but I haven't watched it.
I remember catching little bits and pieces when it re-aired on one of the cartoon channels, but it doesn't stick out to me. I remember the classic Godzilla, Godzuki animated show.
Oh, yeah, the Hanna-Barbera, yeah.
Exactly, that's the one I remember.
So for me, this is a series, or not a series, but a movie that I think kind of falls under our umbrella of a movie we talked about last month, The Exorcist Believer. I think of this as just being your generic Roland Emmerich, I don't know what you would have called it, the beast from 40,000 fathoms.
right.
Give my regards to Broadway, stab, 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 I don't right. know. But when you bring Godzilla into it and you don't deliver, you just get a mess. And this movie was just all over the place. We've talked about the Godzilla design was awful. The CGI was dodgy at best in a lot of places.
Yep.
My final score for Godzilla 1998 is 3. This is a bad film.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it very short here. I agree with everything you said. It's a mess. It's not a good film. It's not something I even enjoyed. I don't think it's even a fun watch as a guilty pleasure. So my simple review here is I give Godzilla 1998 3 flying Godzilla drop kicks out of 10, which ranks it as bad. Todd, tell everyone how they can find us and stay up to date with us on social media.
We are Towel Capes on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, Towel Capes Podcast on Facebook. You can also email us at towelcapespod@gmail.com.
Also, if you're so obliged, leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice really helps the show. Popcorn Mumbles will return next week. We want to thank you so much for listening. Until next time, bye guys.
Later.